Matthew chapter 5, we read a very famous passage. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Many of us know this passage as the Beatitudes. Side note, something I learned, maybe relearned. I'm always relearning things, I think. Sometimes I'm learning new things. Sometimes I'm relearning things I learned before. But why is it that attitude is spelled with two T's after the A? But when you say beatitude, beatitude only has one T after the A. Is that confusing? I typed out beatitude with two T's after the A, B-E-A-T-T, and then finished the word, and word took my T out. I was like, and you guys know I'm amazing at spelling. So when it took the T out, I was like, well, I guess that's how you spell attitude then. So then when I went to type up the sermon title, New Attitude, I put one T after the A, finished the word. Word put a T back in there. I was like, I felt like I was in an episode of the Three Stooges or something. I felt like I was getting punked. I was like, what in the world? So just in case you didn't know, attitude has two and beatitude has one. So we need to know these as the Beatitudes. Luke records a condensed version of these in Luke chapter 6. He says, looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." So a new day. I was going to be done with the New Day series last week. Then I started thinking about how a new attitude is yet another way to have a new day. Sometimes experiencing a new day requires experiencing restoration, as David opened the series with. Sometimes you need, in order to have a new day, you need a new perspective in order to experience a new day. Last week we talked about how sometimes in order to have a new day, you need to renew your resolve. And so, yeah, I thought I was done. Boom, 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 one, two, three. On to the next one. But thinking about the Beatitudes and how a new attitude can provide a new day, I thought that really fits this series as well. And some of it's kind of personal. Just, I'm having to do some things to keep my attitude in check, to make sure I'm staying up and up with all the things that are going on around and what we have that we're looking forward to in the future here. So, and already, anyway, I'll keep some of those things quiet. But I'm struggling myself to have a good attitude in the midst of everything that's going on and trying to hang on to that. And so the Beatitudes kind of hit me a few times this week, and I was like, I couldn't stop thinking about them. And then I got that song, New Attitude, from Beverly Hills Cop, back in the 80s, you know, Patti LaBelle. And I couldn't hear any of the lyrics in the song. I just heard, I got a new attitude, and that's all I had. So I thought, well, that's confirmation right there. So now you have that song stuck in your head. So the Beatitudes. Okay, I'm done. That's bad. you'll remember that, though. Notice the order. Before we dive into the Beatitudes, notice the order of how they are worded. Each of them, there's a blessed are. It starts with the word blessed. Blessed are the blank, for theirs is, or they will be. Sometimes we just read that and we don't think about the order that Jesus put these in. You are blessed as a child of God by God's grace. Specific outward conditions help us to be more aware of that. We're not blessed because we're dealing with a certain struggle or hardship. You are blessed before the struggle. Does that make sense? You are blessed before the struggle because you are God's child. If you've become a member of the kingdom of heaven through Jesus Christ, you are a co-heir with Christ. You are a house for the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So make no mistake about it. You are blessed if you are in Christ. Let's write that down. If I am in Christ, then I am blessed. Period. I'm going to put a big old period on there. I don't typically do a lot of punctuation on my things. I didn't put it on the PowerPoint. But just put a big old period on there just so that you know. If I'm in Christ, then I'm blessed. Period. It's not that you're blessed because you've gone through a specific hardship, or not that you're only blessed when you're going through a struggle or a hardship. But when we go through a struggle or we go through a hard time, that helps us to see that we are blessed. Let's write this down. The struggle reveals a reality that existed before and exists during and after the struggle. And I think I had to shorten. Yeah, I did. My notes are a little bit different. I had to shorten it so it fit in your bulletin. The struggle reveals a reality that exists before, during, and after the struggle. That struggle exposes a spiritual truth about our relationship with God and our citizenship as kingdom citizens. And that reality, that truth, existed before the struggle or before the hardship. It existed before, it exists in it, and it exists afterwards because you are a child of God. And there's two different types of struggles mentioned in the Beatitudes. Sometimes you struggle because of a hardship, something you're going through, something that's kind of external. And that's a struggle that you'll realize these things that you've already been blessed with through that struggle, through going through a difficult time or going through a hardship or some trouble in life. Sometimes it's a struggle of struggling to do the right thing, of struggling to live up to a certain spiritual goal or behavior or spiritual practice. And as you struggle to achieve those, then you realize that you've already been blessed and that you are being blessed and that you will continue to be blessed as you chase after those things. So we have two different kinds of struggles that we're going to catch as we walk through these. So you are blessed, period. But when you go through a tough time or a difficult situation, you're made more aware of what you already have. When you struggle to reach a specific spiritual goal or practice, then you're striving more for something that you already have. And that's what the last part of each of these statements connect with. Blessed are you, for yours is, or yours will be. The struggle helps us to see some very specific assurances that we have in God's kingdom. Yours is, or yours will be. So let's write that down. Specific types of struggles remind us of specific assurances that we have in God's kingdom. Specific types of struggles remind us of specific assurances that we have in God's kingdom. So we're going to walk down through these one at a time. My new attitude in Christ. How many of you guys heard Patti LaBelle say that, not Dusty Delafield? My new attitude in Christ. And there are eight of them, so we had them on the screen to read. If you guys want to pull up your own Bible, I don't have them in between. That way we can take notes while I'm reviewing them again. But the first one, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There is a blessedness in coming to grips with our own limitations. Self-awareness is a very powerful thing. And poor can mean so many different things here. When we read Luke's condensed version of it, he just says poor. And in context of Luke's gospel, Luke is referring to people who were financially poor, who were, and his other two right after that deal with more of a horizontal hunger and thirst that when you're lacking, when you're without. Matthew tags on, Matthew had to be more spiritual than Luke, I guess, but he tags on the, blessed are you who are poor in spirit. And kind of the knee-jerk reaction would be go straight to spiritual. But when you think of spirit, you think of the inside of you. That could refer to your emotional, your mental, your psychological. So between Luke and Matthew, we really have a pretty broad stroke that Jesus paints with this statement that I believe is accurate to be able to take any of those things with it. Blessed are you who are poor, physically poor, mentally poor, emotionally poor, spiritually poor, because there's something that happens when we experience an understanding of any form of deficiency that we have here on earth. When you realize that you're financially lacking, or when you realize that you're lacking a certain skill level to achieve something, or you realize that you're lacking in emotional strength, or you're going through a time of strained mental health, we're reminded that we are blessed simply because we belong to the kingdom of heaven. We were blessed before that realization, that epiphany, that whatever happened to help us to come to that realization that we're lacking here. And we're blessed through and after it. Jesus was very clear when he was here on earth that his kingdom is not of this world. And we might lack things down here, but we are 100% part of God's perfect and complete kingdom. Let's write that down. Number one, I might lack things down here, but I am 100% part of God's perfect and complete kingdom. And when we hit those times where we realize our deficiency in certain areas, it's a reminder of something we already have. We already have a citizenship in heaven. As Paul says in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus. So we have a realization of something that we're already blessed with when we hit those times and those moments in our life, when we hit that understanding that we're lacking this, we're missing this, we're not good enough, or we're deficient in some area. And Jesus says that should remind you of something you already have. You already have the kingdom. So what you think you're lacking here, you're not lacking at all on a kingdom level, on a kingdom side. You're part of the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There are a number of Old Testament passages that talk about how the coming of the Messiah will make all things right. And we're promised in both the New Testament and the Old Testament that there will be no tears when the new earth and the new heaven appear. In Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah talks about how their days of sorrow will end, and talking about a messianic prophecy. And then in Isaiah 65, he talks about God creating a new heaven and a new earth. So now we're talking about future. And he says that in the new heaven and the new earth, the sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Which is the same gist that John got and recorded for us in the book of Revelation, where when he's able to see the new heaven and the new earth, he says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We know that we have that to look forward to. And that's in the future. But not only are we blessed after the struggle, but we're blessed before the struggle. When you became a Christian, when you gave your life to God, when you were repented and you were baptized into him, you got forgiveness of sins and what else? The gift of the Holy Spirit. These masks. And for someone that played in a band for years and years and years, these don't help at all. They take out the frequencies that I have a hard time hearing anyway, so it's even worse. We have the Holy Spirit, which Jesus describes as the comforter or the encourager. So it's not just something where blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Yes, we will have a resurrection in the last day. Yes, we have the new earth and the new heaven, and there will be no more tears. The sound of crying will be no more, as Isaiah says. But church, that's not just something that we have to hang on to and look forward to there. It's something we have now. We have the comforter living inside of us. And when we go through difficult times, and we mourn for whatever reason we may mourn, if it's because some injustice has been done to us and we're hurting and we feel the pain, if it's because we mourn because we share the heart of God and we see the world around us, we mourn for the sin and the darkness and for people that are caught up in it, and we mourn for them. If we mourn with someone else who is hurting, if we mourn due to the loss of any kind, a loved one, a pet, financial loss, job loss, a relationship loss, if we mourn because of bad news or disappointments, yes, we have a new heaven and a new earth to look forward to. But we don't have to wait till then to be comforted now when we mourn. And that changes our attitude. That gives us a new day. Let's write this down. In times of earthly sorrow, we are reminded of the presence of the Comforter and the promise of our eternal comfort with God. That right there. When I looked at this, when I was starting to look at this week, I was like, I could maybe do an eight sermon series on the Beatitudes, because these are powerful. But then I thought, no, I want them all together, because when Jesus shared them all together, there was a potency to them. So I tried to be very disciplined in how much time I spent on each one. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This one's a fun one to unpack, especially with things going on now, right now. We live in a world where we constantly see power struggles all around us. We've seen it at work. We've seen it in our families. We've seen it among friends. We've seen it in the government tremendously right now. Our current partisan system is about as polar as it can be. And we all know, and I don't know why, everyone sees it, but no one's really doing anything about it. It's crippling us as a nation. Struggle to control the House, control the Senate, or to go for the Triple Crown and control all three and have ultimate power. The trifecta. You know, this isn't new. This is not new at all. You see this throughout history. All sorts of people and kingdoms and empires and movements and revolutions seeking to gain power and influence and control, and to do so by force, to do so by strength, to do so by getting the numbers, by getting the advantage, by having a superior intellect or whatever it is to overpower and take over. And we see that. But Jesus throws a curveball, puts his fingers just on the other side of the threads, breaks the wrist. He says, but the meek, the gentle, that's who's going to inherit the earth. not what you see all around you, not in these competing power. And it's so easy to get pulled into that, isn't it? Yeah. I'm there. I'm struggling. I am. And I'm trying to make sure I keep in good attitude so my wife and family don't suffer, so you guys don't suffer. I'm caught up in the news and listen to this and listen to that. And it's so easy to think, well, if we just had more power here, more pull here, more something here, then we could... See, our understanding of earthly conquest is not one of a physical one, church. Our understanding of earthly conquest is a spiritual one. We don't strive for dominance over land and sea. We strive for victories on a much deeper level. We seek the victories of a soul won that is going to spend eternity with God. We ride out to invade the enemy's grasp on people's hearts, not their ballot. We ride out to invade the enemy's grasp on their lives and their habits and ultimately their eternities. And we win the earth. We win the earth not through brute force or some physical power. We save souls through a gentle strength. Amen. That's how the church rides forward. We're sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And we present our reasons for the hope that we have. And we do so with salt in our conversations. We do so with patience, with kindness, with gentleness, with all of the fruits that comes with having the Holy Spirit inside your life. When we're in a conversation with someone on something scriptural, biblical, our goal is our ultimate goal is not to win the argument for pride's sake. Our goal is to share Jesus with that person. Sometimes that involves some discussions and coming to some conclusions. We see that as Paul has numerous conversations with people in the book of Acts. But the goal, we can't be thinking the goal is to win an argument or to be right. And golly, how many times do we see this in the world around us? Church, we have a higher standard to live up to. Our goal is not just to be right. Our goal is to see someone come into a relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. And that's how you inherit the earth. That's how we win the world. We win the world through gentle strength. Let's write that down. We win the world with the gospel through gentle strength. We seek to connect the eyes of their heart with the love of God to see how long and wide and deep it is. We have a confidence in our faith that we profess, and yet we share that confidence, something that we are so sure of, with a humility. We share with a gentleness that disarms, a patience that accepts. And that's how the meek shall inherit the earth, church. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, Luke's version, as I said, he focuses more on the horizontal. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. What is it? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will laugh. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be satisfied, I believe is what his was. So in Luke's, you can see the fulfillment of that happening if you're looking at how God provides that through the generosity that was going to become of the church and still exists that we get a chance to witness now. And how in the New Testament, we see that they took care of each other. No brother or sister was without because they all contributed to each other. Now Matthew, once again, adds a spiritual angle to this idea of hunger and thirst. That it's not just an earthly hunger and thirst, but it's those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You are blessed before the struggle, you're blessed during the struggle, and you're blessed after the struggle. And this is one of the struggles that's not the struggle where you're going through a hardship, like blessed are those who mourn. You're going through something difficult, something. And the last one we get to, blessed are those who are persecuted, something you're going through external. This is something different where you're striving for something that all of us should be striving for. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that's a struggle, isn't it? And through that struggle, we realize that we already have the righteousness of Christ. That was given to us. Correct? That's biblical? Yes? Romans? We have a righteousness apart from the law. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But not only do we have the righteousness, but we strive for more of it. We hunger and thirst for it. And when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will realize more and more of what you already have. It sounded confusing when it came out of my mouth, but it made sense when I thought it. Did it connect? You have it, you look for it, you realize you already had it. But in doing so, that process, it gains more value as you hunger and thirst for it. And you strive after it. In those times when we deeply connect with our need for him, for his guidance, for his justice, for his morals, for his teachings, for his actions, and then we find that we've already been filled with those things already, we just have to chase after them. So what are you hungering for? What are you thirsting for? I just listened to a Craig Rochelle leadership podcast this past week, and man, it was a good one. I can see myself listening to this one multiple times this year. One of the things that he said is that you will move in the direction of your strongest thought. And that connected. I was like, that's very true. You will move in the direction of your strongest thought. So what are you hungering for? What are you thirsting for? When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we will see more clearly the connection that we have to Jesus as our righteousness. Let's write this down. When I truly hunger and thirst for righteousness, I will see more clearly the connection I have to Jesus as my righteousness. And we chase after that thought, and we chase after that hunger and thirst. That righteousness that will be fully known when we exit this world and leave the dark of sin behind. But we have a portion of it now in Christ. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. That one's pretty straightforward, is it not? And if it weren't straightforward enough, it's just a chapter away when Jesus makes it crystal clear. This is one scripture I have. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's clear, crystal clear. Let's write this down. As one who has been shown mercy, I will show mercy. Not I'll try. I'll work towards it. No. You've been shown mercy. Show mercy. And that's easier said than done. I know that. I've had some difficult things that have required forgiveness. And before certain periods in my life, I didn't quite get that because I hadn't had any super heavy things hit externally. So when I talked to someone, I could sympathize with him, but I didn't empathize as much because I was like, I don't understand how this is so hard to forgive. But then when you go through something like that, a life experience, that you just have a really difficult time shaking, and there's bitterness and there's resentment and there's so much hurt and things that have been taken from you that'll never be able to be replaced, that can't be replaced, then that's a struggle, isn't it? You know, sometimes we struggle through a hardship, but then other times we struggle to reach a spiritual goal or practice. And being a merciful person can be quite the struggle. When you're wronged or you're taken advantage of, you're hurt, you're manipulated, you're slighted, you're disrespected, you're misrepresented, you're bullied, you're belittled, and the list could go on and on and on. And unfortunately, it does, because we live in a fallen world. See, we set those free who owe us mentally, physically, psychologically, emotionally. They owe a debt, and what forgiveness is you release them from that debt. You say, you're not required to pay me back. And in some cases, there's no way they could ever pay you back. We forgive. We have mercy. As one who has been shown mercy, I will show mercy. And that's a new attitude. And that's a new attitude that'll bring a new day. I got to keep going. I could stay on that one a little bit. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. If we are in Christ, then we have been washed clean. That's a reality. I think most of us, if not all of us, understand that and know that. We've been purified, but yet we are in the process of being sanctified. And sometimes it's a little bit hard to grasp that understanding that, okay, I've been washed clean, and I'm still being cleaned. I'm still being cleansed. And it's all a process of striving after purity, to remain pure, letting God's Spirit lead you in holy thoughts, holy decisions, and holy actions. And we're told to be holy because He is holy. And that seems kind of daunting. That seems like it's not a reachable goal there. But blessed are the pure in heart. Listen, you've already been blessed with the pure heart, because Jesus has given His life for you and you've been purified. Now chase after it. Struggle to retain that. Struggle in your commitment to chase after purity. And listen, you will see God. That's the promise of this one. You've already been made pure by Christ, but then when you struggle to live pure, you fight the fight, you go through the battles, and you struggle to make the right decisions, the holy decisions, the righteous actions. And then through that struggle, guess what? You see God. And you see what you've already been given to start with in your relationship with Christ. And you praise Him for the purity you have. You praise Him for the purity you had, the forgiveness of your sins. And you praise Him for the purity that we will all have as we enter eternity with Him. So write this down. I will see God through the purity I have in Christ, and through the pursuit of purity in my personal life. I see God through the purity I have in Christ and through the pursuit of purity in my personal life. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Struggling to be the meek among a world of pride-filled power junkies is not easy. Struggling to be a merciful person in a world of fallen people who will, even the people who love you the most are still going to hurt you. They're still going to need mercy. That's not easy. That's a struggle. And we struggle to be peacemakers in a world that is aggressively argumentative. And that's not easy either. And I think this is so very pertinent to where a lot of us are right now. Every one of these, boom, 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 boom. New attitude, okay? Boom, 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 boom. These Beatitudes. So just like mercy, we are people of mercy because we have been shown mercy. We are peacemakers because we have been brought to peace with God. Let's write this down. I am at peace with God, so I will bring peace to the world around me. You didn't earn the title of son or daughter of God. You were given that title. You were given that title through His mercy and through His grace. You are already blessed by being adopted into sonship or into daughtership. So be the son that you already are. Be the daughter that you already are. And struggle to be a peacemaker. And peace is a struggle. That sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? struggle for peace. And peace should just be peaceful. But we know that's not true. When you really understand peace and you look at peace is a struggle. It takes a lot of struggle to have peace. It takes a lot of struggle to bring peace. It takes a lot of struggle to be a peacemaker. It has to be a conscious decision to bring peace. It has to be a deliberate action to be a peacemaker. But we of all people are best suited to bring peace, aren't we? Where else is it going to come from if it doesn't come from God's people? So in a world that is increasingly hostile and volatile, toxic, chaotic, church, choose peace. Choose the new attitude we have in Christ. Choose peace. Choose peaceful words. And struggle to do so. Fight for the peaceful words. Choose peaceful thoughts. The thoughts you keep in your head about other people. Choose peaceful ones. Don't entertain the ones that are aggressive. Don't entertain the ones that take someone who's made in God's image, no matter what their choices are, and takes that person who's made in God's image and belittles them, takes a person who Jesus Christ died for because God so loved the world. Look, struggle, that's not easy to do, but struggle to be a peacemaker in the very back parts of your brain and your mind and fight for that. Choose peaceful thoughts about those who are in your life and stay true to that choice. And you will see God as pure in heart. And as a peacemaker, you will be called a son of God or a daughter of God. We represent God. We wear the most magnificent name that the earth has ever heard. We're called Christians. We are God's children, and therefore we must be peacemakers. Blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. It doesn't take a genius to put those things together and understand what Jesus is talking about here. We're blessed as children of God because we've been given that title through grace and through his mercy, and we've been brought into sonship. Now act like it by being a peacemaker. Because you've come into a relationship with the God of peace. I like the wording that was used in one of the commentaries I used. In the College Press commentary, the author says, "The active pursuit of peace models the very character of God. I am at peace with God, so I will bring peace to the world around me." And our last one, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We're back to the same, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven" was what the first one connected to as well. None of us here have any idea what's around the corner. Unfortunately, it doesn't look very hopeful on an earthly level. But church, our hope's not here, is it? I mean, there's good reason to be down if your hope's here. There's a lot of reasons to be down if your hope's here. But as I struggle with that, I know that's going to give me a bad attitude and a wrong attitude. I want a new attitude. I want a right attitude. And I know that's going to bring a new day if I take these Beatitudes, all eight of them, and put them into practice. So whatever state we find ourselves in as the church, we must push the gospel forward. And if that means we see resistance and we are persecuted, and persecution happens on all sorts of different levels. When we put God first, when we do these things, let me back through these things, just a hit, boom, boom, boom. In times of earthly sorrow, we are reminded of the presence of the Comforter and the promise of our eternal comforts with God. We win the world with the gospel through gentle strength. When I truly hunger and thirst for righteousness, I will see more clearly the connection I have to Jesus as my righteousness. As one who has been shown mercy, I will show mercy. I will see God through the purity I have in Christ and through the pursuit of purity in my personal life. And I am at peace with God, so I will bring peace to the world around us. When we do this, when we live this way, when we put God first, when his kingdom and his righteousness is what we seek first, when Jesus is our Lord, when the Holy Spirit is our conviction, when God's word is our truth, when eternity with him is our reality that we hang on to, not as a hope that's an empty hope, but a hope that is secure, then we will be persecuted. And that takes place in different forms. All sorts of different forms. But be assured, we will experience it when we live like we should be living. When you live with this new attitude, we're going to be persecuted in various ways as we act like people who belong to a kingdom that transcends this world. So keep this attitude. Let's write this down. I am a part of God's kingdom right now. And no level of persecution will ever be able to take that away. A new day, a new attitude. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for these tremendous words of wisdom from your Son. I pray that you would help us, give us the strength, the resolve, the gumption, the courage to chase after these attitudes. When Jesus shared them 2,000 years ago, they were countercultural. And today in our world, we see that they are still countercultural. Father, help us to chase after these. Help us to look and find these qualities, these attitudes in our life. Help us to realize that we are already blessed. And as we go through the struggle, we realize that blessing more and more. We don't earn the blessing. We already have the blessing. The struggle doesn't give us merit. It gives us clarity. Thank you so much for blessing us the way that you have and showering us and pouring out onto us your love through the presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for making all that possible through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.